2024 presents one of the most challenging environments for financial institutions. Faced with an uncertain economy, rapidly evolving technology, and new ways of working, financial services firms have their hands full when it comes to managing risk. Fortunately, they don't have to face these risks alone. Welcome to Future of Risk, presented by Zurich North America. We explore the changing risk and resilience landscape and share insights on the challenges facing businesses to help you meet tomorrow prepared. I'm David Hilgen. Today, we're speaking with Alex Morales, head of financial institutions for financial lines at Zurich North America, and Stan Bernard, head of financial institutions for property and casualty at Zurich. Alex and Stan, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David.
So the two of you work together at Zurich serving a similar customer base. Can you each explain your role? Alex, you go first.
Yeah, happy to. Alex Morales, I lead the financial institutions team at Zurich North America, specifically within the financial lines product. And what that means is directors and officers liability, errors and omissions insurance, employment practices liability, fiduciary liability, and some cyber liability.
Oh. Interesting. And Stan?
Yes, I'm Stan Bernard. I lead the financial institutions property and casualty practice, and that includes what we, you know, refer to as traditional P&C lines, which include lines like property, general liability, workers' compensation, umbrella, as well as some specialized niche coverages that protect collateral assets for financial institutions.
Okay. Well, that makes it clear now. So speaking of your customer base, we use the term financial institutions. Who exactly are we talking about? Who are some of your customers?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's definitely a broad term. When we say financial institutions, we include a gamut of financial services companies, but the main buckets are banks, and that's community banks, regional banks, money center banks. Then the next bucket would be asset managers, which includes private equity, private real estate, REITs, hedge funds, asset managers. And the final bucket would be insurance companies, just like Zurich North America. We're in the business of insuring some of our partners and other property and casualty and life insurance companies around the country.
Interesting. So I want to start off with a big, broad question. It's a two-parter, if you'll indulge me. First, what are the biggest challenges facing financial services firms today?
David, you know, I certainly agree that that's a broad question, and it's really sort of multi-pronged, right? The financial services industry is dynamic, and it faces really a number of challenges, particularly the middle market financial institution space. But if I could sum it up in a few big challenges, I'd probably sum it up into three buckets. First bucket is the current interest rate environment, right? And the uncertainty that exists for financial institutions. I'd certainly say the higher interest rates are impacting financial institutions differently, depending upon what subsegment you're looking at within financial services. So it's both a challenge and an opportunity for firms in this space. Mm-hmm. The second challenge that I'd hit on is technology, right?
Yeah.
The pace of technological advancements are happening just so quickly, and there's a risk of becoming irrelevant, right, if you don't adapt or keep up. So there's a need for fast adoption in a complex setting when you sort of look at the backdrop of the regulatory space that these firms operate in, and Alex can certainly offer more from a regulatory perspective, but there's about 8,000 fintech firms in the U.S. So, you know, that tells you right there, there's just a lot of technology focused capital that's been poured into the industry over the last several years. So traditional firms will just need to figure out a way to move quickly in this environment and adapt either through investing in buying these technologies or investing in buying actual fintech firms themselves. And then the last bucket I would mention is just around talent. That's another big challenge, right?
Yeah.
Just attracting and retaining talent is a significant challenge for this industry. When you look at any financial institution, their number one differentiator is typically their people, right? And competition for talent just remains intense and just not showing any signs of slowing down. So that's a big challenge for the industry. The other thing I would add is that, you know, many firms are within the financial services space are still trying to figure out, you know, how to improve employee engagement and maximize worker productivity in a hybrid work environment. So I think this is a balancing act that many firms are still trying to get right as well.
Yeah, I do want to touch on that later, but you talked about the challenges, but what impact does all that you just described have on how these financial services firms view risk?
It certainly has a significant impact. It really requires companies to be able to adapt to just a changing landscape. And what that means is just continually reviewing risk management procedures, loss prevention, and then, you know, applicable to us is really continually reviewing your risk transfer insurance program, making sure it's addressing everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If I can add something there too, I think what Alex just hit on is critical. And if you were to sort of think about all the categories of risk for any firm, let alone financial institution, whether it's credit, market, liquidity, operational, compliance, or even reputational risk, all of these risks are becoming just increasingly sort of interconnected. So it makes it really important to take a holistic view of your risk profile and identify partners that can help you craft integrated solutions to manage those risks.
Interesting. I want to take a deeper dive on the interest rate environment. I know everyone seems to be talking about interest rates and trying to figure out how rising and falling rates will affect them. What impact is the current interest rate environment having on financial institutions?
Yeah, I don't think we know the full extent at this point. What we saw in 2023 was certainly the impact it had in the bank space, and came from an area that, you know, was a little bit unexpected, with bond holdings really impacting liquidity for many banks out there. We saw, I think, 5 insolvencies in 2023. Now what you're seeing with the banks, most recently with a bank that was in the Wall Street Journal, is just loan defaults and increased loan provisions, and banks needing to shore up additional capital for, you know, what they see as potentially more defaults down the road. And that's just banking. You know, we have a ton of real estate clients out there. In REITs in particular, you're seeing them cut dividends. You know, you're seeing bankruptcies go up. So, you know, what you're seeing is just a slowdown in M&A too, and just everybody sort of shoring up capital in anticipation of a potential economic slowdown.
Thanks for that. You know, there have been dire warnings of pending economic recession for months. It's looking like the U.S. economy may make a soft landing after all this inflationary pressure. But fear of recession remains. That typically doesn't bode well for loan portfolios. So what are you seeing from financial institutions as they navigate this uncertainty?
Certainly, there's a reduced demand for loans in this environment, and that has, you know, an economic impact on our lenders. From a property and casualty perspective, you know, we see shrinking payrolls for some of our lenders that focus in the mortgage space. And of course, that has expense implications. So that's why you see the shrinking payrolls. Also, you know, think when it comes to protecting collateral assets, that becomes that much more important. I think Alex was talking about loan provisions, et cetera. But if you sort of walk that through, you know, you end up with lenders that actually have to insure and manage, right, collateral assets that they've taken over via foreclosure or repossession. And so these assets, you know, could be residential assets, commercial assets, or even vehicles in some instance. And, you know, given the economic environment, we would expect to see some borrowers struggling with loan covenants and payments, et cetera. So financial institutions just need to think about how they will protect those collateral assets once they take possession of them, and having a plan in place with vetted third-party vendors is really critical. You want to develop a maintenance plan that includes regular inspections, appropriate security, as well as access to buildings, particularly for those commercial properties. Mm-hmm. It's also important to make sure that the appropriate risk management program is in place that covers sort of the full spectrum of that asset, right? From loan impairment or lack of underlying insurance to actual repossession or foreclosure, right? And so those are some of the things that financial institutions are sort of navigating and working through in this environment.
It seems like the risk never goes away. It just changes. It just evolves, it seems.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So I want to pivot over to technology here. Tech is changing rapidly across all industries, and I'm not just talking about artificial intelligence, although that's part of this evolution. How are financial institutions leveraging technology to accelerate their digital transformation targets? Stan?
Yeah, there's certainly a race towards digital transformation across many subsegments within financial institutions. If you know, think about the asset management space, for example, firms are leveraging technologies like robo-advisory services, which provide automated investment advice, you know, analyzing customer data and offering investment sort of recommendations, right, based off of that. There's, you know, varying degrees of those types of technologies that are being implemented. And the common theme is the ability to access more customers in a more personalized, differentiated way, and doing all of that more efficiently, right? So it's really important for financial institutions to take full advantage of that, right? We talked about the rapid pace of play, if you will. But while these technologies are transforming the ability to offer products and services with speed and efficiency in a customized way, these technologies do create some additional dependencies on technology service providers. So it's really important for financial institutions to not only sort of develop strong business continuity plans for their own operations, but it's critical that they understand the business continuity plans of the vendors, right, that they're working with, because it has such a outsized impact on their operating models in this environment.
Interesting. So, Alex, are there any regulatory concerns associated with this digital transformation?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I hear technology, the first thing I think about is cybersecurity and the impact that has on privacy and personal information, and then fraud protection, you know, the protection of money and securities. And that creates compliance risk, because there are so many privacy laws out there, at a state and a federal level. Most recently, you just saw the SEC just pass the cybersecurity disclosure rule that effectively requires organizations to disclose their risk management and governance around cybersecurity. So definitely a high bar for organizations from a regulatory standpoint when you think about technology and digital transformation.
Interesting. I want to talk about, Stan, you touched on it earlier, about the hybrid work environment and its impact on financial institutions. I know the move to hybrid work was well underway before COVID-19, but the pandemic certainly accelerated the move, making hybrid work, we're talking like 2 days at home, 3 days in the office, the norm for many office workers, including those in the financial institutions industry. What do you see are the biggest challenges in financial institutions from this shift to hybrid work?
First of all, I agree. It appears to be sort of a structural shift, right, in terms of how we work and where we work. Yeah. But firms, you know, really able to access broader pools of talent, right? We talked about talent being one of the big challenges facing this industry, and the ability to offer a hybrid work environment certainly helps the effort in attracting sort of top talent, right? There are also some things to consider when you think about a work environment. When we think about workers' compensation, which is one of the solutions that's offered on property casualty side, you know, there are things that you expect to be sort of set up in a work office setting, right, from an ergonomics perspective in terms of how your desk is set up and things of that nature, that may not be as structured in a home working environment, right? And that can lead to workers' compensation loss. Yep. But, you know, there are pluses and minuses to both sides of it, right? Because there are some advantages, you know, things like accidents in terms of commuting, right? Car accidents and things of that nature, right? So you tend to see less activity in that space. Sure. And obviously, you know, there are advantages from a financial perspective for firms through cost savings, reduced office space footprints, reduces overhead expenses, which was also having an impact right on the commercial real estate space indirectly as well. So, you know, I think it's a situation where, you know, it's not a one size fits all, but firms are sort of figuring out and navigating how best to leverage a hybrid work environment.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the impact on the mental health of my dog, for instance, who is now never alone because I work from home.
But that's a good point that you bring up. I mean, mental health is something that we see through come through, right, on the workers' compensation side. So that can have an impact, right, as well in terms of the well-being of an employee being, you know, having a hybrid offering, but as well as being, you know, sort of isolated for extended period of time too, right? So it cuts both ways.
Sure. So I want to talk about some of the other risks that you can perhaps just go a little bit deeper. Like, for instance, cybersecurity is one of the top risks, I imagine, is a concern for people in a hybrid environment. What are some of the other concerns?
I can take that one. You know, being in insurance, what comes to mind in this new work environment is really employment practices, liability. You're seeing in the workplace, you know, four or five different generations working in an office, all with different desires and thoughts on what the workplace should look like. Yep. And that puts a tremendous burden on the employers and meeting all these demands and creating, and what that potentially creates is risk around employment practices and safety. And, you know, in our portfolio in particular, really, we're coming off the heels of the Me Too movement, and you would think you'd see a decrease in employment practices liability claims. But in fact, that's not really the case. It continues to be a very active area for us in terms of loss and in seeing litigation around wrongful termination, discrimination, retaliation. So again, you know, new work environment, people back in the office, it's a big responsibility for the employer to make sure they're creating the right environment for their employees.
Excellent. Well, Alex and Stan, I want to thank you both for joining us today on Future of Risk.
Thanks for having us on, David.
Thanks so much, David.
And thanks also to our listeners. This has been Future of Risk, presented by Zurich North America. If you like the show, leave a comment or a review wherever you get your favorite podcast, or drop us a note at media@zurichna.com. We hope you join us for future episodes.
Future of Risk, presented by Zurich North America. If you like the show, we'd appreciate it if you left a comment or review wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Let us know what you think at media@zurichna.com and join us next week.
The information in this audio recording was compiled from sources believed to be reliable for general information purposes and is intended for Zurich clients and business partners. The information contained here may be useful to you or your enterprise when developing your own policies and procedures. The policies and procedures applicable to your enterprise should take into account the specific circumstances of your business and business environment, which is beyond the capacity of this podcast. Any and all information provided is not intended to constitute advice of any nature and is specifically not legal advice, and accordingly, you should consult with your own legal counsel. We do not guarantee the accuracy of this information presented or any results, and further assume no liability in connection with this recording and the information provided therein. Moreover, Zurich reminds you that the information provided cannot be assumed to contain every acceptable safety and compliance procedure, or that additional procedures might not be appropriate under the circumstances. The subject matter of this recording is not tied to any specific insurance product, nor will adopting these policies and procedures ensure coverage under any insurance policy. We encourage listeners to seek additional information from credible sources. Thank you.